Hi, welcome back to Eye to Eye, the weekly podcast talk show all about passion, flow, and creativity. So while the stories may change, the heart behind it remains the same. I'm your host, Aaron Holman, and my very special guest today is...
I am Dax exclamation point. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm so happy you were able to be here, Dax.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Welcome to Eye to Eye. This is a talk show just about passion, flow, creativity. Dax exclamation point is a cosplay superstar. They are known as the Cordelia Chase of drag. They are an alumni of season 8 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Just to get things started, Dax, what are your preferred pronouns? And go ahead and tell the listeners a little bit more about you.
I mean, pronoun-wise, I mean, I don't really have pronouns. I mean,
Me too.
He, she, them, they, whatever. As long as it's like relatively positive and... Or if it's hilarious, that's fine too. So whatever, it's not a big deal to me. Gender is, I'm gender ambivalent, as I call it. I just, I'll do whatever. So, I mean, about me, I mean, yeah, I'm a cosplayer. I'm a nerd. I am a drag queen. I am an avid cat aficionado.
Are you?
I have cats and they are my life. Aww. Yeah, I mean, I make stuff sometimes. To keep it simple, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. I'm very happy that you could be here with us today. This is, like I said, a show about passion. So let's just start by going into what I would consider probably your biggest passion, fandom. Where did the passion for that begin?
I don't know. I guess when I was, ever since I was a kid, I've always loved, you know, cartoons and superheroes and science fiction and those kind of things. Like, I mean, you know, a lot of people play outside when they're growing up. I did not do that. I was like, there's no cartoons there. Why would I go there? It's also hot. Ew. And I've always drawn and I've always, you know, made stuff and been an art nerd. So, I mean, like, for me, it's kind of, I don't know, like, I've always read comics and it just kind of is one of those things that, like, always stuck with me. Strong, generally female characters. Those are my preferred go-tos. I mean, like, you know, dudes are great and all, but they're kind of boring, to be fully honest.
They really are.
It's like aesthetically very, very appealing, but I don't want to hear them talk. So, no, that's not true.
They're just not very compelling as characters.
The first way to bore me with a story is to make it about, like, some, like, I don't know, some, like, Herculean trope kind of thing. Like, you know, like, my family died and I'm angry about stuff and I'm going to punish the bad guys for doing stuff to me. It's like, I don't really care. I mean, you know, Batman's only interesting to me because of Catwoman. Wolverine, I find to be useless as a whole. So, I mean, you know, for me, it's like, it's just like, that's always been my go-to. I thought I liked princesses for a while. I really don't like princesses. I'm not really a Disney nerd. Sorry, Disney. I mean, like, and, like, for me, it's, like, I'm always, like, related to, like, it's, like, looking, like, Disney or, like, those kind of things or, like, fairy tales. I'm like, what's Ursula doing? What's her deal? I love her makeup. What's going on with that? Like, you know, like, Ariel's great and all, but, like, she's also not good at contracts. So, I don't want to deal with her.
Mm-hmm. She did not read she that fine not, print.
And honestly, it wasn't in fine print. It wasn't in fine print. Like, it was a song and dance number. It was told to you.
You're right. Like,
there was rehearsals for this, and you just didn't listen to anything. That's fine.
You're right.
Like, whatever. It's cool. So that's just kind of like what always, you know, fired me, I guess, from those kind of stories.
Well, where did you grow up?
I am from Washington, D.C. originally. I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, and I went to college in Savannah, Georgia, and now I'm back in the D.C. area again. So kind of all over the place. If I had to pick a home, it would be like Savannah, because I feel like I really became myself there, only because I moved there when I was 18 and was able to kind of just like do whatever.
Well, speaking of Georgia, in the research that I was doing, I came to find out that you went to Savannah College of Art and Design.
I did that.
What did you go for?
Sequential art, to draw comics. Yeah, because I'm that nerd. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do at 18? I'm going to draw Batman or whatever. That's what I'm going to do. Let's, you know, pay money for that.
I grew up in like a rural town in Louisiana, and I used to want to be a musical theater actor. And I promise you, I went in towards Savannah. I went in towards CAD for musical theater, which I did not end up choosing because it was such a new department there for it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I know a lot of like musical theater majors who now like work in like HR. Like, you know, it's like,
exactly.
I mean, you can really do whatever. I mean, like, I would go draw comics and now I just dress up as characters sometimes. Like, you know, it doesn't make, and like, I never really got that whole thing. My mom was always like, well, you know, whatever you choose, you know, it can always change later. You can just, you know, do whatever. But I'm in school for this thing. I have to do this thing for my entire life. That's not how it goes. I didn't realize that because I was 18. No. Like, you know. But yeah, I mean, comics have always been a really big part of my life. I mean, they just always have been. And I can't imagine what I would do without them.
Yeah, because it provided probably just like such an amazing fantasy world to get to go live in. I know you're a big fan of Storm. Mm-hmm. Talk about her and the relationship that you have with that character.
My two heroes in life are Storm and Catwoman. They're my, like, I feel like they're my yin and my yang. Like, they're the same, like, two sides of the same coin. Like, I feel like Selina Kyle, Catwoman, is attainable. I feel like I'm, like, one good breakdown away from just becoming her fully and being like, screw it.
Yes.
I'm gonna go put diamonds and jump up a building for no reason. Like, I feel like I'm, like, I could be their girl. Like, I could easily just be like, you know what? Today is the day. And it'd be like, fine, that makes sense, that tracks. Whereas Storm, I see, is aspirational. Mm. Like, she's always in control. She always looks amazing. She's always poised and, like, just together because she has powers. If she wasn't, we could lose Micronesia or something. Like, you know, there could be a typhoon, we'd all die. And, like, so, I mean, like, for me, like, that's what Storm always was to me. It's like that's, like, the goal. It's probably not going to happen, but at least try to be more like that.
Yeah.
Whereas Selina Kyle doesn't really care. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to be in bed all day. It's fine. Like, you know? And I'm like, relatable, girl. Like, totally. Like, that was me yesterday. I was just like, you know what? Today is the day. Like,
yeah. Yesterday was definitely a stay in bed day.
It was in the air. I don't know. My cats are being friendly. And I was like, you know what? I could just do this. So.
Well, I think it's very important to take those rest times. A lot of people get really focused on like producing. Yeah. And you know, the rest and preparation that time, very important.
Yeah,
too.
Totally. Because that's like with like, you know, drag and cosplay, any kind of art really, people don't ever see what actually goes into it. To anyone who's not doing what you're doing, they think that it's just like you wake up and you're like, there's some art, meh. And that's all there is to it. Like, I mean, how many artists do you know that have, you know, always said that, like, you know, people will just ask them to draw them random shit on just for no reason. And they're like, oh, you can do it. That's what you do. It's like, and then they don't want to pay you for it because they feel like it's like breathing for you. And it's like, no, you're paying for my time and energy and skill and expertise.
A lot of skills.
Learning and spending 30 plus years doing this one thing. And you just like had an idea one day that was terrible. And now you want it for free. How about no? Like, you know, that's just how it is. And drag has changed so much with the whole, you know, all Corona and everything else, and then things being, you know, on lockdown and quarantine and that kind of thing, because venues and bars and places that we would go and perform make money, which was our job, is they're now off the table. And now, you know, the only way to really do those things is to do like digital numbers and digital shows, which are cute, but let me tell you the real tea, that shit don't pay. It don't pay nothing. I mean, people tip you, but honestly, if they've seen the same video more than like two times, it loses all of its luster. Whereas they'll go back and binge watch Netflix, the same series, the same season, 25 times in a row and still pay $9 a month for it. But, you know, a girl who had to just like, over the course of 3 months, learn how to be a light director, a sound director, a set maker, a video editor. I've learned like 4 new software since March and I hate them all. So like, I mean, it's just, but people don't really take that into account. It's like, I mean, like I had to stop kind of doing or agreeing to every like digital show that I was offered only because it was stressful. Cause not only are you like spending 2 to 3 hours getting into your costume after how many hours making your costume, let's be real. And then you spend like 2 hours to get into the costume. And then you got to film yourself and do multiple takes to make it a visually interesting thing. Cause it's not like a drag show. We can like move around the stage and have the audience and, you know, like whatever.
Yeah, got to have those different angles
to make a music video. That's how music videos are made. Like that's what we're doing here. And then go back, rewatch yourself, critique yourself harshly. Get over that.
And then, which is the fun part.
It's the worst. Get over that part. And then edit a video. And then also don't forget like to sync up audio, which if you're not really like, if you're not like used to it. It takes a while to get used to like singing the audio, because I mean, let's be real, drag queens don't always know all the words to all the songs. We fake it a lot. We kind of fudge it. But in real time, it's one thing. But on a video, it's like,
we can see.
That's not the right word for that one. And it's just like, well,
yeah,
gotta do it again. And there's no reshoots. We're not gonna go back and reshoot. I mean, I know girls who go back and reshoot. I am not one. Like I filmed a video the other night, and it's a costume I hadn't worn in a long time, and I forgot the reason I stopped wearing it was because it's horribly uncomfortable to wear unless it's like below 20 degrees outside and it's like snowing, and it's because it's all plastic and fake fur.
Ugh.
And like and then a wig and then a mask and then gloves and then boots, and it's just like, what was I doing? And I forgot because I hadn't worn it in 2 years, because I was like, I hate you, you're the worst. But then I found it and I cleaned it up and I, you know, repaired damage or whatever, and I was like, oh, you look cute. And then I put it on. 10 minutes into getting dressed, I was like, this is a bad idea, girl. This is a mistake. But the mask was already glued to my face. I'm like, well, can't go back now. Let's just do it.
I'm like, doing the damn thing.
Oh, I was miserable. I had the air down to like 65. I had a fan on me. I was still like, this is the worst. And of course, it's me and Cass who are completely unhelpful. So
yeah, they're just sitting there like, when's food?
Pretty much. and they're terrified because I'm like 9 feet tall with hair on, and they're of course no help. And then I have like, you know, like a forest of lights around me to make sure I don't have any like weird shadows in front of my green screen. And it's just like, I was just like, I can't. I mean, like, I can obviously do it.
Of course.
I just really don't want to. Like, it takes a lot of the fun out of doing drag in general.
Well, there's a big difference between, you know, doing these digital shows and then the live shows. And, you know, it's okay for it not to be your exact love doing it this way. I imagine it would be very hard to perform full force for nobody, you know, honestly, when you're recording.
When you're recording, there's no one there. It's like, oh, this. What am I doing? I'm playing dress up for myself.
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing? It definitely takes like a lot of the luster and the appeal of drag out of it when there's like no one else there. You know, when there's like no audience, no one to talk to or kiki with in the dressing room. There's, you know, I mean, like. You could drink while you do it, but then you're just going to get drunk on your own in front of a camera. Then you can see yourself being drunk on camera. That's not cute. it's never a good idea. You think it's going to be, it'll be fine. It's never fine. It's never fine. It's always a trap.
I've learned that by just hosting shows in life. There was a trivia and a drag show here that I began about a year ago, pre-COVID times.
Yeah.
And, the times that I would get just a little too drunk or a little too sloppy, you can't do that. I would never want to film.
Oh, no. I mean, it's one thing if you're like, if you're like just like a little bit over the limit when you're like in public and you're live, because it's a drag show. And the glory about drag is that your audience is always drunk.
Yes.
So.
They should be.
So honestly, you look amazing in that light. It's fine. But like when it's on camera and it's like, and I would say HD ruined the world, because HD footage and video, like, first of all, like, it ruined the mystique of your makeup. It ruined, you know, if you have a pore issue, girl, you got to fix that. Like, because we can see all of your pores, darling.
It's very true.
And I mean, it just is what it is. But I mean, like, with digital stuff, it's just like, it's so much more work that goes into it than, like, a regular drag show. Like, while like a regular live show, you are still making your costume and putting a look together and generally, you know, dragging luggage from one point to the other to then be able to change and, like, whatever. But, like, the energy isn't there, the feeling isn't there, and it's a lot more work, because then you have to, like, once it's done, you have to go back and then redo it and then edit it and then put it together and then make it look clean and then get it in by a deadline. And it's a whole thing. As a freelance artist or as an artist in general, like, deadlines are fine with me. I prefer them, honestly, because then I can't do it myself. Like, I can't be like, I'm gonna get this done by Wednesday. Cause then I'll be like, who's gonna punish me? Me?
Like, I love that.
No. like,
I love that.
If I don't get this like Instagram post up by Thursday, who's it gonna hurt? Literally no one.
Who's thinking about it? Only me.
I'm the only one. And I can always just ignore it. So, but like, if it's someone else who, especially if they're like paying you for a project or something, or they're relying on you or they're waiting on you, then it's like, I'm going to get this done for you because I said I was going to do it. But if it's just me, like, that'd be a cute project.
When it happens.
I'll come back to it. Like, I'll get there when I get there. It's fine. So that's what makes it, like, digital drag so much different. And then people are still expecting, like, you know, drag stuff to happen, like, on a weekly basis, especially with, like, social media and creating content on your own. It's really good to have a regular drop point, you know?
It is.
It helps. People like to be, like, predict when it's going to happen. It helps your analytics. It helps your growth. It helps your followership. It's just what you should be doing. I mean, look at Bitch Pudding. Like, her
has
been every week, and it's been consistent. It's gotten her, it's done well for her.
I think it pushed her to the forefront in people's minds in a way that before it, even having won season two of Dragula, people were not thinking of her near as much
exactly.
as they do now.
And I mean, I've known her forever. I've known her, we went to school together. So I knew her, I met her when she was like,
oh wow.
I don't want to say like 19. I don't know.
That is so cool.
You know, we were in a group called the House of Gunt together in Savannah, Georgia. It's like a little drag troupe in Savannah. So, I mean, I've known her since she began.
Beautiful.
Like, I knew her before drag. And so, you know, watching her be able to, like, you know, do what she wanted to do and, like, go to where she wanted to go in, like, literally, like, really in her own way. Like, she wasn't compromised for anybody. She didn't change anything about herself. She got better at what she does, but that comes with time, age, and years of practice. I mean, that's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. No, her digital drag show is, like, the one people know.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely. It was the first one, I do believe. You know, and I think that was what set it apart. She came out strong with a clear vision. And then, like you said, consistency did not stop.
Yeah. And also inclusivity, too. That also helps a lot, too. Like her, the show she does is a big show. It's a lot of girls and, you know, girls, guys, whatever, them's, days in betweens, whatever. It's fine. Just people, a lot of performers in the show, but she still manages to get it out, you know, on a timely schedule and includes as many people as she can, whether or not they have a large following or not.
Very true.
It's delightful. It's great. It's just it's a lot of work though. I mean, luckily she has she's like partnered with Twitch. So it definitely is one of the better paying digital shows that's out for anyone who's in it. So, it's done really well.
So let's talk about the beginning of your drag career. Where did it start? Where was the first time that you ever did it? And when was the first time you got paid?
First time I got paid, that's a question. I don't know how long it's been. I know it's been a lot of time because I'm a cat. I'm bad at years. I forget my own age all the time.
I believe you're 26. I think 26 is what the research
told me. We're just going to go with that one. That sounds like a good number. That's fine. But yeah, so I first started doing drag with the Rocky Horror Picture Show in Savannah, Georgia.
Wow, that's a great one.
I'm a Rocky nerd. I started going to Rocky Horror when I was like 16 in Atlanta. My first Rocky Horror, my mother drove me and my friends too. It was very adult, very mature.
I love it. Was it the kind where you like, you?
Yeah, the midnight showing, that kind of thing. My mom was like, I saw that in the 70s. I'll take you guys. And it was Halloween. It was my first time in drag, I guess, technically, because I borrowed her makeup. And she didn't realize that me, as a painter and an art nerd, makeup is just painting. Mm-hmm. It's not that big of a deal.
True that.
And then my first time actually performing, I guess, was when I did get to college in Savannah. And my friends and I began the Rocky Horror Shadow Cast there in Savannah called Pure Antimatter. They're still around.
Wow.
Obviously, I don't know if they're doing anything now because of, you know, Corona and whatever. But
of course.
But yeah, I mean, they're still around. I played Frankenfurter, obviously, because he was my hero in life.
Oh my God, I love that.
I did, but you know, it's a Rocky cast, so everyone kind of rotates roles anyway. So I mean, I did like Frankenfurter and Janet and Magenta and Columbia. I never played the dudes. I never wanted to play any of the dudes because they're boring. So I mean, that's where I kind of began, and then and we did that like literally every week, every Friday and Saturday night for like 2 years.
Was it like the live stage version? Was it with the movie?
With the movie. That, okay, yeah. So like midnight to like 4 a.m. because it's actually a long movie.
Oh my God.
You always forget how long it is until you're watching.
Yeah, about halfway through it is where I think the end
and
of it
not.
Is. And then it's no. like, oh.
It's just that, yeah, it's a lot more to go. I started doing that. And then I did that for like, I don't know, like I guess every Friday and Saturday night for like maybe 2 years or so. And then eventually I started working at Club One in Savannah, dancing on boxes as a go-go boy. But I was, of course, in drag because I like outfits. I'm a model. I model clothes. So my best friend and I started doing that together. And then, my first time doing a show was an amateur contest at Club One in Savannah. The drag queen, Felicia Day, Felicia Adams. Felicia Day is a different.
Yeah, I was like, Felicia Day, the actress?
Oh, no. There's a drag queen I know named Felicia Day as well from that.
Wow, I love that.
A lot of Felicias. It was a popular name for some reason in like the late 90s. I don't know why. Either way, Felicia Adams was hosting this drag show, and it was like the amateur night contest, like a Sunday night. And so me and like my friends would go there on Sundays. The bar was only open on like the basement level for like karaoke, and then the amateur drag show, and then dance party till they close or whatever. So it wasn't like a full open night. It was just more of a chill thing. And because I get a discount because I worked there, I would go on Sundays with my friends. And so we hung out there on Sunday night, and she came to me in a frantic panic because no one had signed up for the amateur contest. Other drag queen that was on cast that was supposed to do like a guest spot between like, the acts of the amateur contest or whatever, got in a car wreck on the way to the club and broke her foot. So wasn't coming in. She was like, look, girl.
I can't.
She was like, can you do a number? And I was like, I'm not in drag. So she took me into the dressing room of the club. Let me go through all the girls' stuff that they left there and put something together. I did Britney Spears, My Prerogative. It was very end of the time. It was that era. And people threw money at me, and I was like, oh.
I love it.
Can I do this? Can this be a thing? Like it was all like last minute, not intended. That's my first.
I love a queen, though, who can pull it out, in that emergency spot.
Oh, it was a huge mess. Oh, it was not cute. It was in no way okay.
You got the coin.
She was like, you got 20 minutes. And I was like, sure. Let's just figure this nonsense out. I think I was already wearing foundation because, I'm a lady. So I put on some eyeliner and like a red lip and someone's blonde wig. All I know is I found a pair of like red thigh-high boots that were in my size. And I was like, those are my feet now. She was not padded. She was not wearing any body because I didn't know what that was then.
You're like, isn't this a
I
body?
Mean, I'm walking around on something. It was not cute. But I mean, your first time in drag should not be cute.
Yeah.
If you're worried about your first time in drag being cute and being influencer level and like, because I meet so many baby queens all the time who like, they're like, I'm going to start doing drag, but first get my look together. I'm like, no, girl, you can't get your look together first.
That's not how that works.
You have to just like dive into it. Just go. Like you have to like actively want to be doing it and just do it. Because I know so many girls who like, people that I've met, have always been like, it's coming together. I got these boots. I got this corset top. So close. But of course they only want to get the expensive, like whatever's in at the time.
Yeah.
They only want to get like whatever.
The Marcel Wave hair wig like, a couple years ago.
They do they buy like whatever like new makeup brand palette is like up and coming and like popular and was talking about it. And they only care about like what all the girls from Drag Race that they watch are hawking and wearing and doing, but those girls are rich, so they could do that. I've met people who have good day jobs or whatever, but they really want to do drag for some reason. I've also met kids with no money who want to pay for college by doing drag. To which I have to be like, oh,
what?
You made a mistake. Yeah, I've met people who've told me that they I want to be a drag queen so I can.
Who told you this was gonna make you a lot of money right away?
VH1
or ever?
VH1 girl. World of Wonder Productions. On one hand, it has given the world a lot more views of drag, and it has definitely brought drag to the forefront of the conversation. It's definitely opened up doors for me and other girls, and even like new up and coming ones. Everyone else, like drag is accessible way more than it was than when I was growing up, where like you needed to go buy makeup, but it was before Sephora was a thing. So your options are generally going to be like a department store, which you can't afford, a CVS, a Walgreens.
That's where I started.
Yeah, and you go in to buy makeup, knowing you're like, I'm going to buy makeup today, but you're embarrassed because you're the only non-woman buying makeup at the Walgreens. Literally ever. Literally ever. They've never seen this happen before. And then you get the checkout line and they look at you like you're fucking crazy. And you're like, I just want some lip gloss. Like, whatever.
I would like to be pretty.
I just want to be pretty. So, I mean, like, Drag Race has definitely, like, changed a lot of those things for, you know, non-conforming people in general, which is great. Phenomenal. However, it also peddles lies. It tells kids that, like, they can, like, you know, be, like, a super famous drag queen and it's just gonna happen overnight. And everything, you know, because like they have girls on the show that, like, you know, like, I've been in drag for 3 months and now I'm here on Drag Race. So people think that's going to be them. They all think it though.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they're not really trying to sell you like legitimate, authentic stories. They want to create conflict in a fishbowl that is fun to watch. That's all they really care about.
I think starting with about season 7 was where I saw the show really start to lean into
formulaic nonsense. Yeah.
A little more scripted reality television than we've ever seen before.
Highly.
This is a fun reality TV show.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's fine, but call it what it is. It's not about your artistic merit or about your actual abilities. It's about who's gonna create the most conflict, but in a non-problematic way. I mean, it's fine.
It's about those sound bites.
Oh, literally. Sound bites and wardrobe. End of list. You wanna be on Drag Race? Here's the thing. Work on your 5-minute short set for your stand-up act. And number two, take out a loan, buy a bunch of shit. Like, you wanna get on, girl? Hire a stylist. There we go. We got you, girl.
I miss the days in which it was watch them build this. That was the earlier seasons. And I thought that was the real test of what drag is.
That's what I thought I was going to get into. I was like, we're gonna build shit. Because season 7 was a lot of like those like copyright free musical numbers, which are a choice. Wow, that sounds like music. So I was like, you know what? Obviously, they're going to change that with season 8 because no one liked it. So clearly they're going to just go back to the original sewing, hot gluing.
Fun.
Like random shit, just making it into a dress. Cool. I was surprised. Either way. I mean, look, like it is definitely done a lot for queer people and visibility, which is super important and super necessary. However, it just has also given a lot of people the wrong idea about what drag actually is, and made a lot of people who have never touched a dress in their life think they know all the answers about drag. The fandom is problematic, and I work in fandom. Like I do conventions year round when it's not a pandemic. I do panels at conventions and I talk to people all the time. And there is no more toxic fandom that I've ever witnessed than drag.
I agree.
There is none. I mean, yes, you know, cis, het, straight, nerd dudes can occasionally say the worst possible things, but not as consistently and all the time as a Drag Race fan. I'm just going to say it. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I was on Instagram this morning, and Jada Essence Hall posted about her in that video with Miss Toto, and her were in a video with Orville Peck and Shania Twain, which I was like, Of all artists to do a cameo with, Orville Peck and Shania Twain, cool, rock and roll.
Yeah, I'm like, this is legend.
And so then I looked at her following count, and it's like 695K, which is respectable, highly respectable. But then I was like, but what's Gigi Good doing though? Bitch, she's over a million. Interesting. Like, I mean, what's that all about? Like, what's really going on?
Even Miss Crystal Method is higher in follower count. I looked at that just yesterday, honestly. The three of them.
Just and
Jada Essence Hall is at about 6,500,000. Yeah, and then, Crystal is at 800,000 at least. And it's just, honestly, we know exactly what it is.
Yeah, well, we very much do know what it is, girl. I'm just saying, it's like what kills me is that I meet nerds all the time. I go to conventions all the time. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what fandom is. I know exactly what goes into being a fan and loving something. And I mean, like, you know, one of the main things, like, you know, with working in fandom especially, it's not, you know, not shame someone else's fandom and what they're really into, but like if you're into something just to hate someone else, what the fuck is that about? How is that bringing you joy? Yeah. Like, the whole point of fandom is to bring your, is to be in love with something that brings you joy. Like, that's the whole reason. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, you know, wear a steel bone corset and 8-inch heels and, you know, wrap myself in fucking foam rubber to not bring joy to myself and other people. So then why are you actively trying to break someone else down because they don't agree with you on what they saw on a TV show? That'd be like, I mean, like, there really isn't a fight between Star Trek and Star Wars. People always want to think there's like a fight or a conflict. There really isn't. They really, like the one time I almost saw beef between fandom was the one year that Anime Weekend Atlanta and Furry Weekend Atlanta were the same weekend.
Ooh.
On the same block. Like, oh, girl.
What a fun block.
It was a party. You know I went to both. But the main issue is because the nerds couldn't figure out which con to go to. Like, that was the beat.
We want to support everybody.
They wanted to go to both. So I just, I don't know. It was just so silly. And like, with Drag Race, it's like, I see people online, like, you know, going out of their way to insult someone's Instagram post.
Yeah.
You're following someone on Instagram just waiting for them to post a picture of their face to call them the N-word. That's what we're doing today. Like, what even is that?
Nasty. That's terrible.
Like, Megan put in a post the other day about something like that. Like, someone had, like, made a comment telling her, like, to not speak about something. I don't even know what the original post was about, but she had a lot of words to say, which is valid. But again, it was one of those instances where somebody just went to her page just to insult her, which has happened to me, and it will happen to me again. It's not, I mean, like, that's one thing about Drag Race they also don't tell you is that the fandom is toxic. While you do have people out there that love you, there are a lot more people out there who just want to go out of their way just to troll you and just to harass you. And the thing about, like, you know, like, not reading the comments is one thing. Like, you don't really read the comments, but the ones you remember are the negative ones.
Of course. Of course.
Someone can tell you you're pretty all day long, and it's great to hear it to your face, but you will forget that the second someone, you know, reads you for something or insults you about something that's completely erroneous. Like, I still get triggered whenever someone, like, mentions, like, my pads looking better than they did before. And I'm like, first of all, queen.
It happened so long ago, bitch. Like,
it's been 60 years, and it still comes up. It still comes up. Constantly.
I think it's a way of this fandom trying to make themselves relevant and somehow trying to make themselves, like, involved. Yeah. You know, like, they think that they know the artists behind what they've seen on TV, which was a glimpse of the artist at a very specific time in their life. What they don't even realize is by the time we see it on TV, it's already been a year. Yeah. You know, so like, we should, every time, I think the fandom should ask the queen, well, how are you feeling about it? Because honestly, that's all that matters.
Yeah. I mean, luckily, like, you know, like, it's so common knowledge now that, like, anyone who, you know, goes up for the show now is just like, they kind of take it with a grain of salt. But, and yes, we all begin that way. But after a while, it just grates on you so much. You're like, you know what? I got something to say. it's like, you know what? I have time today. Like, let's do this.
Yeah, I love that.
I don't go off on people very often in my comment section. Usually if it's something problematic, I'll just delete it altogether and be like, you don't belong here. You can't be here. Delete, block. I don't care who you are. That's usually my go-to. But one day I was in the airport. My flight got delayed. So mama had some time.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I mean, it's just, it's part of the agreement that no one really talks about. Because even when you're there, they tell you, like, oh, this is going to change your entire life. Everything's going to be so much different now. Oh my God, it's so amazing. Opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I believe you. Production, so I believe you, obviously. They don't tell you that if you go home too soon, you're going to go back to that,
it won't
go
be
back to that day job, girl. Because you got bills to pay. You're the one you quit before you got on the plane. Call him back. Like, that was a fun conversation.
Welcome to All Gay Long. I'm Shannon.
And I'm Nikki.
And this is a podcast all about open and honest conversations all day long.
All Gay Long. Yeah, so we're going to have chats about our lives, all things LGBTQ, and giving our often unwanted opinion on what's happening in the world right now. Follow us wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe and follow us to stay up to date on our weekly episodes.
We are All Gay Long and we really hope you join us on this journey, and we will see you all soon. Bye!
I'm an artist and I have never been like a really competitive person. Mm-hmm. I just thought I'll just go in and do my art the best that I can do it, because you can't judge art against other art because it's all art. So
it's subjective, yes. So
that, and I was definitely mistaken. But either way, it's fine. I mean, I don't know. Once I got there, really, I kind of like got the gist of what was really going on. And that's when my anxiety said, hello. And I was like,
hello, I'm here.
I should have lied on that psych evaluation, but oh well, it's too late now, isn't it? Like, you know, it was an experience for sure. Good, bad, or otherwise, I cannot say for certain.
It remains to be seen. It's always developing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I also have girls that like when they're like, I'm going to do it. I'm like, make sure you want it. Make sure you want it. Like, you got, like, be careful what you wish for is real. Because, I mean, like, yeah, because it could be a whole other beast in the way you think it's going to be. It could go really well. Or it can go really poorly, or it can go really well and then go really poorly, or it can do both or none or all. It
weird.
Just make sure you want it. Make sure you're ready for it, you know?
Yeah, you're willing to let it transform things.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's gonna do something. No idea what that's gonna be, but it's gonna be something. Like,
so let's go back to cosplay and your love for that.
Yeah,
I found out that you were the main inspiration for her character, Shade, in the Marvel Universe.
No.
I want to hear all about that. Please tell me.
I mean, it really came based because of Drag Race. Because Cena Grace, who's now a friend of mine, he is the writer who was working on the Iceman solo series for a while.
Wow.
And Iceman, of course, is a openly gay mutant character. And he is one of the X-Men. And he was doing his own solo series after they did a whole... I don't want to go back into comics history, but either way, long story short,
you can.
Long story short, Iceman's a homosexual superhero. There we go.
Hot and cold.
Sure, both. Why not? And so Cena knew from day one that he wanted to bring in a drag queen character, because there never really been a drag queen mutant or drag queen superhero in like mainstream comics really at all. Even though I told him, of course, like, you know, that would never work in real life because it takes too long to get ready. It's by the time that you're finished with your makeup and your shoes, the fight's already over. Everyone's dead.
It's not practical.
It's not. It is not. So he invented Shade because he wanted to bring, you know, just like another aspect of, like, you know, queer life into a comics, you know, kind of world. And he based her, yes, on me, as well as like Shay Coulee, who I feel he based her mostly on. He denies it when talking to me, as he should. Shay Coulee, the Vixen, myself, and Peppermint as well. And we finally met when we did Hey Queen together in LA. And I made a Shade costume for it, knowing that I was going to be interviewed with him because of the whole character thing. And we're friends now. We talk pretty frequently. Yeah, he's great. I absolutely love him. I love his work and everything that he's, you know, done. But I mean, that was like really his goal, was to just bring other like aspects of, like, you know, just fun queer life into just a regular mainstream comic book, which has never really been done before, honestly. I mean, he's introduced other mutant drag queens. There's one named Crystal Imkron, who is I don't know if you read X-Men at all, but
a bit, okay, yes. Well, and I did growing up. My uncle had the big collection, okay. And so, yeah.
Well, she's based on, I mean, like, her name comes from, like, the Imkron crystals, which is where the phoenix comes from.
I love it.
And she and Shade work together at a gay bar, and it's a whole thing. Yeah, so it's super cute. But, of course, the series didn't last very long. I mean, Iceman is still around, obviously. He's still super gay and super frozen or whatever. we haven't seen Shade, or her name is now Dark Veil. We haven't seen her again.
Dark Veil.
Since then, I was told that she's been shelved by Marvel for the time being. So we don't know if we're going to see her back. I mean, we might, because they're doing a whole X-Men kind of... It's been a slow relaunching. The X-Men now have their own kind of, not planet, but it's a living island that can only be gotten to if you're a mutant. this whole thing. They have power, you know, they have power of like resurrection, and they can bring dead mutants back from the past and blah blah whatever.
Oh wow.
The whole thing. It's a lot of books. Hard to kind of sum up in like, you know, a little bit. But so we might see her again. It's really up to Marvel if they want to bring her back. Cena no longer works with Marvel, so he won't be helming any of their products, as far as I'm aware, anytime soon. He's doing mostly work with like Archie and a few other, like, he's like four books at once. Like, he's always working. It's
that is impressive. Really impressive. Yeah.
Pretty impressive.
So one of the main topics of our show is creativity. Something I'm always really curious about with creatives as yourself. What do you do to overcome blocks whenever that happens?
I mean, you guys just gotta kind of have to like just stop and walk away. That's really all you can do. I mean, obviously if you're on like a deadline or something like that, then you have to clearly push through. That's not always ideal because it makes things go way slower. So even though you're getting things done, it's moving at like a fraction of the pace it normally would work. Like if you're really in the mood for something or like into it, it goes so much faster, so much easier. But if you're just not feeling it, but you have to get it done, it's like, ooh, it's like dragging through sand. It's terrible. I just take a break. I have to walk away sometimes and like leave the house, take a nap, do something else besides that. Or like get to a point where you can stop and then come back to like the next day. That helps a lot too.
With a bit of a refresh new energy on
it. Totally. Mm-hmm.
So you were talking about that you make some of your costumes as well. What's the longest it's ever taken you? Which one has been the biggest work of love?
I mean, I make most of my costumes, honestly. Most of the things I wear, I've made myself. I can't think of one. I have a couple that I've been wearing recently that I have not made myself. But I usually make a good chunk, if not the entire thing. But as far as like time goes, I don't time myself. Just because... I am what I call the method of drag. And so when I'm like into making a character or a look, it's all that I want to do. And I go way out of my way and I end up buying like things that character would wear in their wardrobe on like a night out or like going to the beach or like whatever. And I end up like with like a mini wardrobe for each character I do. And I don't mean to.
That makes so much
sense. I don't mean to, but I can't stop myself. Like if I'm like working on a costume and like really in that mindset of that character and then like something else comes up that I have to also be at, I end up just going as that character, but like not in their actual costume.
It's kind of like troubleshooting the character.
I really, parts of their like accessories will come into my regular drag wardrobe and like their hair and like, and it's a problem. It, I always will always overspend. That's just going to happen. So I don't limit myself. I try to like be like, it's a reasonable amount of money. But I don't go back and look at receipts because I know it's gone way over that. So I'm like, if I have the hair and the shoes for something, I'll agree to it. I'll be like, yep, that's the one. I already got the boots. So,
and then it's like, but not the costume all
it's
yet.
Like, I got the boots and the hair, but not everything else. And you're like, it's simple. It'll be fine.
It's not.
It never
simple.
Is. It's never fine. It's because
that is hilarious.
Because like, really, like, even with my cosplays, like each character has their own set of lipstick they wear. Like I know that like Cordelia Chase would never wear what like Catwoman wears, and Catwoman would never wear what Storm wears. Storm would never wear what like, I don't know, Jean Grey would wear. Like they would never share lipsticks. Like so.
No.
So I mean, like that means they also would not share jewelry. They would not share accessories. They would not share shoes because they don't. They just don't. And it's a trap. It's definitely a trap. Like I mean, drag and cosplay I always say is more of an addiction than a hobby. because it consumes your life. When you're not doing it, you're thinking about doing it. When you are doing it, you want to do it more. You know, like you're always thinking about the next one, the next time, the next gig, and the next whatever. Like you're never like satisfied. And then every cosplay itself is a work in progress. Like I can't tell you how many times I've like upgraded parts of like certain costumes I just love. Like every one of my costumes has gotten definite upgrades to like whether it's like their hair or like their gloves or their shoes or their belts or their
or the accessories
or anything. They all get upgrades every time.
So what's coming next for you in terms of your goals in cosplay and drag? Is there anything that you haven't done that you are dying to do?
I'm excited about to get back to conventions. Honestly, I mean, I've been still building cosplays since this all began. Just because, I mean, way slower because, you know, Funds have been a lot less than normal. Mostly I'm just kind of working on like getting ready for when things to open back up again, because I know, especially with cosplayers and conventions, it's going to be a party. Because people have been working, cosplayers especially have been working on stuff since this all began. All the like the big, tedious projects that people have wanted to do, they're just doing them now because they have time.
That makes a lot of sense.
So cons are going to be crazy when this begins again. It's going to be completely ballistic. Now, when that's going to happen, no one knows. The next one that I know is on the list is KatsuCon here in DC, and that's in February of next year. So they're still on the fence. I mean, it could easily fall through, but hopefully it won't, because I know a lot of people that like need a convention. So a lot of people that you know are really big into cosplay and fandom and conventions. It's kind of like they're like one social thing of the year, or it's like they spend all year and they really focus on like these certain events. They don't go out every weekend. They don't go out to bars. Yeah. They don't like, you know, they hang out with their cats and play video games, and then they eventually do a convention and have like one crazy weekend, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, they don't like, you know, take like cute little beach trips. They wait all year long for this one massive nerd orgy, and that's where we're going. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. I have friends who they spend the entire year, like you're talking about. I live in Eastern Washington, but I have friends who spend their entire year waiting for SakuraCon in Seattle.
SakuraCon, yes, I wanted to go there. I've never gone there. Kimchi's gone there.
That one's a blast. I've been to that one, Gamer X down in San Jose.
I want to go to Gamer X so bad. I keep trying because, I've wanted to go for a while. They have an East Coast version also. They have a New York version as well. Mm-hmm. Gamer X does.
Fun. I really, really enjoyed that one. It was so much fun. Let's see. Are there any particular role models or mentors that have been impactful for you in your specifically cosplay journey? I mean, obviously the strong female characters themselves.
Yeah. I've always been an autodidact pretty much. Like, I've always taught myself everything that I do. Like, I've never had anyone who like had that knowledge that I could just like, you know, like apprentice under. I never really had someone like that. I've always wanted someone like that. Just never got the chance to. So everything I've done, I had to like either like figure out on my own, Frankenstein it together, or just kind of like make it up as I go. I've never really had like a person that I could be like, hey, how do I do this? And they just tell me. I mean, I'll get like tips and stuff from like, you know, other friends that I have that do things better than I do. Like, you know, like if I'm doing like, you know, if I'm sewing something, I'll go to like some friends. If I'm like doing foam work, I'll go to other friends. If I'm doing editing stuff, I'll go to other friends, like that kind of thing. It's kind of like picking and choosing little bits. There's not been like any one person I'm like, hey, teach me the world, like, you know?
Well, as a chance to give back, what is some advice that you would give to somebody who's interested in starting cosplay, but they don't know where to start?
Just jump in. Just jump into it. Whatever it is. I mean, I got that advice when I was, I guess, 15. David Mack, who's an artist who did a book in the 90s called Kabuki. He's a cover artist for a lot of different comic companies. He did like Daredevil for a long time. He's an amazing artist. He's a painter. He does a lot of watercolor work on like hot press boards and uses the kind of like drips and the blobs that it makes like really come together. I met him at a convention in Atlanta. I want to say it was Atlanta Comic Con, like one of its first or second years. And he was just at a booth, and I was looking through his portfolio, and I was like, oh, you're that guy. And I didn't even know his name because I was a kid. I don't know. But I was working on watercolors in my, you know, art class in high school. And I was like, I was asking all these questions about watercolors, and he was like, and he looked at me straight in the face. He goes, he just met me. And I'm, again, a child. He just like sits back in his chair and goes, don't be a pussy. And I was like, what? he was like, don't be a pussy. If you fuck up, you fuck up. Don't be a pussy.
Love it.
And I was like, okay, I will not then that. Like, I was so taken aback because, I mean, you know, because again, I was a kid, and, you know, he was this artist whose like work I had always idolized, but didn't even know his name. But I knew his work whenever I saw it. And then I met him later at a convention, like when I was like 18, and he remembered me and we hung out for the weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, he was cool.
So out of curiosity, this is always something I like to ask from people who are very experienced in their field. What is the most common or the biggest mistake you see people do when they do either drag or cosplay?
I mean, that's a rough question, only because art is subjective. I mean, like, there's not so much mistakes. There's always ways that, you know, but everyone's view is different on like how things should or shouldn't look. So as long as I feel like your vision is what you want it to be, there's really not a mistake you could make. I mean, there's things that I would do that someone else wouldn't do. There's some things that like, I mean, like we all, like I have plenty of drag friends who I love and I respect them, but I would never wear the shit they wear. It just wouldn't. Mm. I'd be like, oh, that's a choice, girl, but you do you. and it'd be like, if they're feeling their luck, then girl, you do it. You go on. But I mean, you know, that's why like a lot of queens that like I know, we don't like, you know, go to our friends and like, should I wear this, what's this or that's what's not? Because our styles are usually different. Yeah. So if someone asks me that, I'll think in terms of like how I would put a look together, mm-hmm. but it's not how they would put them together. So it never, you know, no one takes the advice really. I mean, it's good to get a point of reference from someone else, but like you can't really judge what's right or wrong when it comes to
I love that.
Art or expression. Like, mm-hmm. yeah.
I think that's a perfect place to take us into our final segment of things.
Oh, final segment.
Yeah. I like to call it passions lately.
Oh.
And it's super simple, but Dax, what are you passionate about lately? What's doing it for you lately?
I mean, lately, it's more about just keeping busy with things. Just because there are no conventions, there are no live shows, there are no gigs to really physically go to. Just keeping myself working on things, keep going with it, and trying to like really like focus on like, you know, building my social media up as much as I can, as well as like, you know, working with new people and new brands and companies and things if I can. And that's really been what I've been really into lately. I mean, I've been doing a lot more like retouching and editing lately. I've been doing a lot more digital kind of work lately. I'm really into that. Yeah, I mean, just for me, it's always about keeping busy, keeping doing something and not letting it sit there and like stagnate.
That's exactly what my passion lately is as well, is channeling my anxiety, my stress of the world,
yeah.
and putting it into a more, well, anything beneficial. You know, this podcast, my partner and I are creating a clothing company. These are more than enough for me to keep my brain focused.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I mean, because I mean, I could easily just spend the rest of my life in bed and be fine with it. Let's be honest. Like, I can easily.
I'm that way too.
Like, you know what? I have Grubhub. I have my cats. I have my streaming. Let's just nap it out. I'm into it.
Let's just nap it out.
I'm into it, girl. Like, just leave it by the doorway. Contact-free delivery. It's fine. It's fine.
I love contactless delivery.
I love it. Because, I mean, I'm extroverted to an extent, but I'd rather be in bed.
Like, where I like recharge best is in that alone space. And so I'm like, leave it on the porch. Do not ring the doorbell. The baby is asleep.
Do not ring the doorbell. Do not, ew, baby. I mean, good for you.
I'm the baby.
Okay, good. Okay, thank God. Thank God. I've always been like 1 foot away from being a complete recluse my entire life. I could happily be like, you know what? I'm out. I am Sandra Bullock in The Net. You will never see my face. You only know my name through texting. I'm into it. I can do it.
I love it. I'm like ready to be Tom Hanks in Castaway. That'd be my version. I'd be like, get me to an island without people.
I hate sunlight, so I would never do that. I hate the daytime. I really do. That's why I'm a drag queen, because I don't like the daytime. Waking up at 6 p.m. to start doing makeup to be somewhere by 11:30, that sounds like a good Monday. Like, you know?
I love it. Dax, what is your social media, or do you have anything to promote coming up, or how can people follow your artwork?
My Patreon is what I'm really pushing right now. Patreon recently. My name, of course, is Daxclamation. That's Daxclamation. I'm available also, obviously, on Twitter and Instagram. Those are my main social media channels with the same name, Daxclamation. And you can find me on Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, also at Daxclamation, that's Daxclamation.
I'm putting all of those in.
Not PayPal, though, because they're terrible. They're the absolute worst. I use them when I have to. I honestly hate them the most. But Venmo and Cash App, I'm into it. Let's go. Also,
I love it.
Facebook Pay is an option. Don't add me.
You're like, however it's coming girl, in, let's get it.
Baby gotta eat.
And then we have our final question for the pod. What is the most recent thing that has happened to you that has made you purely happy?
I actually got an email the other day from DC Comics. They are sending me an influencer PR box. It's like a limited edition collectible box about nonsense. I have no clue what's inside.
Who cares?
I don't care. They were like, I was like, yes. they were like, I do want it.
That is so
I'm
great.
Super jazzed about that. Mostly for the stuff inside, but also because DC Comics knows who I am now. So
yes, you're welcome. Huge mama.
That's all I care about. I'm like, what you're really saying is though, you know me though. You know who I am though.
You've
seen me. That was the most recent thing, yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is congratulations, very well deserved.
But also, I love free shit. I'm a drag queen girl. Like, anything you want to send me, I'm happy to wear it and put on Instagram and be like, hey guys, go buy this thing. I'm happy to. Would love to. Be my pleasure.
Love it. Yeah. Well, like I said, my partner and I are starting a clothing company called I Light Hue. You'll be getting something.
I'm an influencer now. I can do it. Do you feel influenced yet? Influenced. Is that how it works?
Oh my God.
Like hypnosis? Is that what we're doing? I don't know.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on Eye to Eye today, Dax!
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
It really was. And thank you, listeners, for being here with us. Now go outside. We'll be here and gayer when you get back.
Don't go outside. It's a trap. Bye.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. It's a trap. It's so hot.